Luke 5:27. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This far I desired to read in our first reading this morning with the help of the Lord. And now, before we proceed with our reading from the Holy Scripture, let us kneel down before the Lord and unite our hearts in prayer and praise to our Heavenly Father. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this moment around Thy holy word. As in the time so old, O Lord, our father Abraham has built an altar to Thy holy name and offered sacrifices, O Lord, and as his household was surrounded, gathered around that altar, in an act of worship of the Almighty God, the Creator and the Possessor of heaven and earth. And as Thou hast blessed him, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, and given him Thy holy promises, O Lord, so today we pray that Thou in Thy goodness and grace look upon us as we are gathered around Thy Holy Scripture, and as we worship Thee also, O Lord, we worship Thee and we praise Thy holy name for the promises that Thou hast given to the fathers, Thou hast fulfilled to us, their children, in the faith. The promise that Thou hast given to our father Abraham, that in his seed all the nations of the world will be blessed. Gracious Lord, Thou hast so abundantly fulfilled to us in Christ our Lord and Savior, and we pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou bless us in Christ, that Thou bless us through Him, that Thou, O Heavenly Father, bless us, even though we are small and weak, and just a few in number. Bless us, O Lord God Almighty, with an abundant revelation of Thy holy word, and with an open heart to receive Thy word, with a soul that is longing to feed upon that bread of heaven. Thou grant us an open mind, O Lord, to receive Thy light. And may Thy holy word, the teaching that Thou hast sent to us in Christ, enlighten, illuminate our whole being. For in Him, our blessed Redeemer, Thou hast opened the door of heaven to us. In Him, O Heavenly Father, Thou hast given us victory over sin and death. In Him, Thou hast given us a perfect example of true faithfulness. O Lord God Almighty, our loving Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with gratitude and love for Thy holy name, that we may praise Thee today, that we may worship Thee in praises, in thanksgiving. And Thou, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, lead us through this act of worship. Lead us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, to worship Thee, O Heavenly Father, and to magnify thy goodness and grace that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thy goodness is better than life. Holy Father, how wonderful thou art in all that thou art doing. And as we look into thy holy word, thou, O Lord God Almighty, grant us that deep insight to understand thy will, to know thy will, to trust in thee, to have confidence in thy wisdom and thy goodness and mercy, to believe in thy grace, and then, O Lord God, thou make us meek and humble, that we don't take anything for granted, and that we don't consider any of thy goodness, any of thy blessings, any of thy gifts out of reach. But every day, O Lord, that we forget what is behind and that we strive to make another step forward with the power that thou art giving, with the grace that thou art providing for us, O Lord. Thou lead us, thou teach us, thou make us faithful followers, thou make us true disciples. O blessed Lord, thou make us worshippers of thy holy name, that we may resemble in our worship the worship of thy name in thy heavenly kingdom, that truly, indeed, in reality, thy kingdom may come and fill our hearts and our souls, and thy revelation to enlighten our minds, that, O Heavenly Father, heaven may be near through Christ. Blessed Lord, make us thou meek and humble. Thou make us patient and kind. Thou also give us strength and endurance. O Lord God Almighty, teach us thou. Make us to know what we need, that we may seek and find, that we may ask and receive. O Lord God, give us that strong faith, unwavering faith, unshaken faith of our fathers, faith of the holy prophets, faith of the holy apostles. In that rock of ages, the foundation of our salvation, the atonement for our sins, the redemption of our souls. Oh, grant us that faith, O Lord God Almighty, that will make us rest in Christ. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in worshiping thee that our soul may delight in thy goodness. And thou, O Heavenly Father, looking upon this tiny flock, look upon us through Christ, thy beloved Son, and then outpour that abundance of thy goodness and grace, thy love and thy faithfulness. Blessed Lord, while the day of grace is going on, thou continually sanctify our souls. And thou, O Heavenly Father, use this blessed word of thine, feed us and make us strong. Gracious Lord, our souls long to see that mighty, powerful hand of thine, thy helping hand, hand of mercy and grace, extended to every soul. O Lord, we would like to see that joy of thy salvation in the hearts that we love. O Father, hasten the souls that thou hast redeemed, and thou break the bars of prison. Thou, O Heavenly Father, for every obstacle, grant additional strength and power. Lord God Almighty. In Christ thou art walking above the angry waves of the sea. Thou lift up. Thou strengthen. Thou, O Heavenly Father, have thy victory in every heart that is praying, every soul that is seeking thy goodness and thy mercy. O blessed Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we would like to help, and yet only thou canst. Lord God Almighty, have mercy upon us. As thou hast said in Christ to the Apostle Peter that Satan is seeking to sift them as wheat. Help us to see, O Lord, that indeed truly our adversary is walking around as a roaring lion, but those that trust in thy goodness and mercy are safe in the arms of Jesus. Blessed Lord, thou only canst create, establish, and strengthen that new life in Christ. Oh, we trust in thy goodness and mercy. And we call upon thy holy name, O Lord. Thou strengthen our faith. And if any one of us is ahead, make us a good example in meekness. Give us a humble heart. And if anyone is behind, Lord God Almighty, the true and faithful shepherd in Christ, take every sheep on thy shoulder and every lamb into thy arms. And thou, Heavenly Father, have thy victory. May the power of thy Spirit, Spirit of grace and goodness, Spirit of loving kindness and sincere concern, Spirit of gentle, loving fatherly care, be manifested. Destroy thou the work of darkness. O Lord, defeat the enemy. And exalt the name of Christ. Glorify thy holy name, O Lord, in giving new life in Christ. In giving, O Heavenly Father, peace and joy. Gracious Lord, may in everything thy will be done, and thy kingdom come. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. With the help of our Lord, I would like to continue our reading in the same chapter 5 of the Gospel according to St. Luke under verse number 33. To the end of this chapter, let us read with the help of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5, verse 33 and on. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but dine, eat, and drink? And he said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent. And the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, The old is better. That's the end of this chapter. The people in the days of our Lord's teaching, as the Lord Jesus Christ walked in the flesh upon the face of this earth, his days were filled with the amazement of the people that were watching and beholding the great miracles that the Lord did, and listening to the teaching of the Word of God that was so powerfully presented to them. So that we read in this chapter, this verse 15 of the chapter 5, But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did not rely on the attitude of the people or their amazement. He did not practice some self-exaltation in the feelings of the people around him. He surely knew how unreliable are human hearts, how easily the people get confused, and how quickly they are turned away and perhaps impressed or fascinated with something that is not the Word of God. The reaction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or perhaps this is not the best word to use, the action of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he was surrounded with fame, with admiration of the people, his action is recorded in the following verse, verse number 16, And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. If our Lord and Savior, the Son of the Almighty God, the one that was the only one chosen to save his people from sin and death, the only one that faced directly the Prince of Darkness and was always victorious, he himself prayed. And somewhere else we will find in the scripture that he spent the whole night in prayer. If he prayed, and if he prayed so much, and if he prayed, or since he prayed in the way he did pray, how much more we should continue in prayer. In the verse number 17 we read that it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present. And that power was to heal them. But we don't read that any healing took place. You see, Pharisees were outwardly so clean, that they could not be cleansed inwardly. And the doctors of the law just did not want to be the students of the Word of God. It is a dangerous thing for us, beloved, to become Pharisees and doctors. The safe and the good thing for us is to be the disciples, to be the followers. Just as Mary had have chosen that good part, to sit down at the feet of the greatest teacher, the teacher that lived a very meek, humble life. He was not a doctor of the law. He was the one that fulfilled the law. And he interpreted or explained the Word of God in a perfect way. Why? It was his word. It was his teaching. It was the word of the Father that was the word, the teaching, and the example, the living of the Son. And then we read, "Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy," very difficult sickness. "And they sought a way to bring the sick man in and to lay him before the Lord. And they could not." Why? Pharisees and the doctors of the law surrounded the Lord. It's a terrible thing when we have people gathered around the Word of God and they come and sit there with their wisdom and display their outward purity and holiness. And that way they reject the healing power of the Word of God. And when there is a crowd of self-righteous and of self-wise, self-proud people, then those that need healing cannot come closer. They could not. They could not come through the door of that building. They could not come close through the crowd of the self-righteous, hypocritical. So they did something quite unusual. They climb up the roof. What a heavy, difficult job on a stretcher to lift up a sick man to the rooftop. Very hard work. But not only that, they were breaking through the roof, through the tiles of the roof. They were breaking, in a way, in part demolishing a building that was not theirs. But in their struggle, in their desire to come to the Lord, to bring the sick one to the Lord, everything else was secondary, less important. So we don't know, at least I don't know, if the roof was broken right above the head of our Lord teaching and preaching in that house, or maybe a remote part in a corner of the building. And once they got into the building, they managed to come to the Lord. In any case, they somehow got in. We read in the verse number 19, "When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude." You see, a sick man is brought, and if the crowd, the people there, if they were concerned for this man's welfare, if they wanted to help, those that were out and along the perimeter of the crowd, so to say, they could have told to those that were in the middle part, and so from mouth to mouth, from ear to ear, the word would be carried to the Lord, and the crowd should have opened to receive this man that needed help. But somehow, they listen to the word of God, but they don't do it. So, they went, this group, probably four people, probably relatives or good friends, or maybe caretakers of this man that already had a heavy burden taking care of a man that is sick of a palsy. They went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his coach, that bed or stretcher that they used, into the midst before Jesus. Such an unusual way, a demonstrative way of coming to the Lord. And our Lord saw their faith. Well, their faith was so visible. The other people saw their faith. They might not have considered that that was faith. They might have thought that it's very rude, maybe quite unorderly to do such a thing. But the Lord saw their faith. The Lord did not look upon their breaking of traditions, did not look upon doing something unusual, something that might not be welcomed by the hosts of the house, or certainly not welcomed nor encouraged by the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. But the Lord saw their faith. And he said, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Their faith was manifested by their deeds. But think about four men striving to lift up that bed to the roof and then to lower the bed down. But think about the one that was sick. What a feeling. How about the fear? What if they fail, if they drop him down? What if one of the ropes breaks or the stretcher? But they had faith. And they, just a few of them, were united in that faith. The sick one and those helping ones. And so they come to the Lord. We don't have any evidence here that they asked for anything, that they said anything, nothing. Just their faith was there, clearly proven by their deeds. And the Lord looked at the man that was sick and he says, "Man." The Lord did not use his name. I don't think that the Lord was ignorant of his name. This person was a man, a soul that needed healing and salvation. And the Lord looked at him, he is a man. And the Son of Man has come to save man. So the Lord looked at him and says, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." We don't know how that is for a sick man. None of us was really that physically sick when we were seeking forgiveness. But I can only think what a stream of new life started instantly streaming through the veins of this man. His sins are forgiven. He hears the voice of someone who is proclaiming the word of God. But there are the others. First, they didn't help this man. Now, they will try to degrade the healing in process. They would rather not hear these words. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Their reasoning, thinking, perhaps their mumbling or whispering, but mainly thinking within themselves, What this indicate to us? They listened to the word of God until this moment, but they didn't hear. You see, they were their own idols. And as we read in one of the Psalms, and maybe a few more places about the idols, in the prophecies too, that they have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, they hear not. They have arms, but they cannot do anything, good or bad. So are those also that worship them. So Pharisees, doctors, scribes, all the people that lived in craving admiration and worship of the other people, they listened, but they did not hear. And especially they did not receive the word of God. But the Lord perceived their thoughts. He answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk, to a man that is paralyzed, that is helpless, powerless. He cannot move, not to get up and walk. Why did the Lord ask this question? You see, scribes and Pharisees, they also were proclaiming forgiveness of sins. They would study the law. And the law of sacrifices, the law of ceremonial cleansing and cleaning and sanctification. And as good as that law was, with their studies, they twisted everything out of shape. They even measured the value of sins by the value, market value of the sacrifice. Such a foolishness. Such a misunderstanding. Such a carnal, physical, material belief or thinking and considering of spiritual things. A confusion. And most of that because they were so big in their own eyes, so smart, so wise, that they were afraid even to show the slightest sign of their lack of understanding, their weakness, their humanity. The Lord said, is it easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or stand up and walk? Thou art healthy. The sickness is gone, taken away by the Lord. What is easier to say? Well, anyone could say, thy sins are forgiven, and if you offer an offering or give some generous gift to the temple or to my religious organization, in other words, then truly thou art healed. But the Lord says, no, healing is for free. He is paying for healing. But then, who can say to this man, get up and walk? Who can really heal him physically? Is that not a sign that that's the same one that can forgive spiritually also? So, he answered, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He has power to forgive sins because he has power to pay for those sins. I say unto thee, he is turning now to the man sick of the palsy, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And the same instant, he rose up before them and took up the thing whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. The signs of true healing. First, acting, moving, working, doing the things as a healthy man, and then glorifying God. Remember the 9 lepers that were cleansed, and they went their way, did not come to give glory to the Lord, but a Samaritan that was the 10th, he did. He was truly healed. Some of the lepers apparently were cleansed outwardly, their body was cleansed, but their soul still had that leprosy of sin. Lack of gratitude. Lack of trusting and appreciating the word of God. So, this man departed as the Lord has told him, as the Lord actually commanded him. This man departed first time perhaps in his life, or first time after a long time. He's walking, he's healthy, but even more than that, he's free, his sins are forgiven. No wonder he glorified God. They were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." It's always a strange thing, beloved. And if we were in the faith twice a long time, and if we saw many miracles of God's salvation, His healing power and His forgiveness of sins, every time it's amazing to see it again. It's a strange thing that the Lord will use His word and the power of His Spirit to change a heart, to give us a new heart, to change our way of thinking, our attitude, and what we lusted after when we were slaves of sin. We hate. We abhor that. And what was so powerful over us, we look at it and it's dead. Powerless. We almost wonder, how could that ever keep, or how could that have kept us in bondage? Healing. New life in Christ. Glory to God. It is amazing. And it's wonderful. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi. Now, Levi is not sick of a palsy. He has strength, he has health, he has apparently just about everything a man could desire. But he needs something that every man needs. The calling of the Lord and a good answer. Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and the Lord just turns to Levi and says, "Follow me." But what about the government? What about the income? What about that job that he had there? Levi left all and rose up and followed the Lord. And where are they going to? To Levi's home. There is going to be a great feast. Really, Levi made him a great feast, but who made that feast? Who is the host at that feast? Remember the story of the father welcoming the prodigal son and leading him into the household and making a great feast. Levi rejoiced in the Lord. He was thrilled that someone would call him a publican, someone that is a prophet, someone that is a man of God. And so Levi made a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. With whom? With the Lord, his disciples, and with Levi, and probably Levi's family. But their scribes and Pharisees, they were around, and they murmured against the Lord's disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" The disciples did not answer. They just followed the Lord. And the Lord answered for them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What do we read here? Our Lord said that they that are whole need not a physician. Well, that sounds so reasonable, so easy to understand. Only they that are sick need a physician. We never saw anyone that was in good health coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, heal me. It never happened. But then, what often happens, I'm afraid, beloved, that those that are not sick of the palsy, they have just a tiny cancer. Or maybe just a tiny spot, a pimple of leprosy. And they don't see the need for their healing. It's just a little thing. They can live long years with that tiny sickness. Now, that sickness spreads, and usually what is inside shows on the outside. It's a poison. Their soul is in a serious danger. It's so necessary that we understand that the Lord has taken upon Himself our sicknesses, that we all need daily healing. Even to those that went from city to city to proclaim the Word of God, empowered with the Word of God, the Word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He gave them that power to heal, even to raise the dead and to proclaim the gospel to the poor. Even they were instructed at some moments to shake off the dust from their feet. You see, everyone needs cleansing. Everyone needs sanctification. Everyone needs continual care of our Lord for our souls. He said that He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Does that mean that all the righteous were excluded? What about Anna the prophetess and Simon or Simeon, the godly men in the temple? Were they rejected because they were righteous? No. Those that were righteous, they repented. Without repentance, no one was righteous. Never. Every day, we can find a reason to repent, to regret, to turn to a better way, to follow the Lord more closely. But of course, that first repentance is so important. That fundamental repentance, turning away from sin and turning to the Lord with our whole heart. And by the grace of God, to die, to overcome sin and sinful desires and the sinful nature, the old nature, to such a level, such a degree that we hate it, that we are dead to everything that is deadly, and we receive that new life in Christ, a new peace, a new joy, a foundation that we can build upon, a foundation that will not be easily shaken, foundation that is the rock of ages, Christ in us and we in Christ, our Lord. And so they asked the Lord, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but dine, eat, and drink? What did they really say? The disciples of the Lord did not have a special time of fasting in order to concentrate or meditate, focus on the Word of God. They ate when they had time to eat, and they drank when probably they were thirsty. So the Lord is answering, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast? What is the bride chamber? I think that's
the place, probably a large room, chosen for the wedding feast. And there is a company of those that celebrate that wedding feast, those that celebrate the joy of this union of the bride and the bridegroom. A covenant is being made here. Two hearts are joined to serve the Lord together. Two paths of life are joined together to bear the burdens of this life together, to share the joy and the sorrow. But more than that, the Lord is talking about a bride that is His church, the one that He will redeem, the one that He will purify and sanctify and make holy, to be the bride of the Prince of Peace. So he says the children of the bride chamber cannot be compelled to fast as long as the bridegroom is with them. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And of course, when our Lord and Savior was taken away from the disciples, when He surrendered into the hands of sinful men, and He was tortured and despised and condemned and finally crucified and died on the cross, those were the days of mourning and fasting. The disciples deprived themselves of even the most necessary things of this life, and let alone the pleasures of this life, like feasting or eating more than necessary, or using so-called dainty food. But now the Lord is with the disciples, and so they're eating and drinking, not only physically, but also spiritually. Even though they don't understand completely the Word of God, that Word is changing their thinking and their heart much more than they are aware of that change. So the Lord answered about the customs of the old times, and He said, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. What happened in the old times, in order to become sensitive to the Word of God, the people would have to reduce their diet or just suffer hunger. They would have to intentionally, deliberately reject or refuse the pleasures, the not necessarily sinful pleasures, but any enjoyment of this life, so that physically suffering, their soul would be free, or at least stronger against self-indulgence, against lusting after the pleasures of this life, to become sensitive to the Word of God. But the Lord says that that's not the way it should be in the New Testament. That we should not take something of the New Testament teaching to somehow patch up what we lacked in our old life. It's a new way of living. He says here that if we try to take something out of the New Testament and somehow fix up the old way of living, we are actually destroying the teaching of the New Testament for us. We are making a hole there in that new garment. And it simply does not fit. A part of the new does not fit, does not agree with the old. It has to be a new life altogether. New garment, Christ's righteousness to cover our soul. And then he also said, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles. Of course, their bottles were made of skin, animal skin, prepared so that they could keep wine in that kind of bottles. And what will happen? Those bottles could be used for a season, not for a long time. It's not glass like nowadays. And he says that actually, if we put the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in an old heart that is not repented, that heart cannot contain the Word of God. The Word of God is greater than that old heart, old understanding, old frame of humanity cannot contain the teaching of the Word of God. The Word will be spilled. How is the Word spilled? When we don't keep it. When we don't follow the Word of God, then it's spilled. It's a very poor example. And it's sinful. But the new wine, the gospel, has to fill a new heart, and both are preserved. Those that have new heart will keep the Word of God. But the Lord also added, no one having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. You see, the other way is the truth, the other way around. The new one is better. But our habits are often so strong. What we are used to, we enjoy. So, what the Lord is doing to those that seek Him, to those that pray, to those that follow Him and will not let Him go until they receive what they need, just like Jacob, as he was wrestling with the angel, and even when he was injured, wounded, and could not wrestle anymore, Jacob clutched to the angel so that the angel did not want to trust Jacob away. But the angel said, let me go. And Jacob said, no, until I receive the blessing. So he received the blessing, and everyone that is striving for the Lord's blessing in such a way will receive it. The Lord will not trust anyone away, will not cast anyone out that come to Him with his or her whole heart. Oh, may the Lord give us always that kind of a heart to seek and find, to knock and see the door open, to ask from the Lord and to receive. Then we will also, every time, and continually glorify God, for great is His goodness and mercy. May His goodness and mercy follow us in all the days of our pilgrimage.